Thank you for tuning in to Live Paranormal Spotlight Radio on LiveParanormal.com. Hosted by owners Robert Zarek and Nikki Paranormal. Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to Live Paranormal Spotlight Radio. My name is Nikki Paranormal, and clearly, totally not my government name. But here's someone who has a government name, Rob, known as Robert.
Good evening.
Hello.
How are you? You know, it might be my government name. It might be just the worst stage name that you ever come across. I picked the last name that no one can pronounce.
Right.
Which would be a poor stage name choice.
Right. Totally.
But something I would do, and that's what the only benefit of that is, like, if someone calls that obviously, like, I owe money to, or, you know, they've got something that I don't want to hear, they mispronounce my last name. So I have that going for me. That's one thing that is, like, a benefit of having a name like that is when it's plain, like, it's mispronounced, then you know, hey, I don't need to be talking to you.
Right.
So knowing my luck, there'll be something. They'd be like Publishers Clearing House calling to say they're coming out. I won. And I'd be like, yep, nope, can't take your phone call. As soon as they say my name wrong,
right.
So maybe I should reevaluate. Maybe I just.
You might want to do that.
Yeah, reevaluate my thought process on that.
Yeah, might want to do that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I'm looking forward to tonight's show, and kind of. Live Paranormal, we're kind of doing an October with 31 Days of Halloween broadcasting. Seems like everyone's doing a Halloween special nonstop all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So we might as well take advantage of that.
Sure.
So we're on day 6. But it's the first one for us. But as owners of Live Paranormal, that's that gray area. We're probably involved in all of them. You know, so what we traditionally do is kind of, you know, bring in some unique guests for our Halloween specials and, you know, find out about them because it's Spotlight Radio, but yet also spotlight the holiday, which is our favorite holiday, you know, though I do like Christmas, but Halloween.
No, I don't. Don't say that dirty word.
Surprising with the mouth you have, that would be a dirty word.
That is the dirtiest of words.
I do not mind Christmas. So Halloween is fantastic.
No.
It's great for what we do. And it allows us to, I think every Halloween we have something pretty cool going on. We're in talks right now, something else cool. But, you know, that's the one thing that I always look forward to. Is, oh, Halloween's coming up. What awesome thing do we have planned, and what awesome thing are we going to put together?
Mm-hmm.
So we have no announcements or anything. I'm just saying in general, you know, statistically speaking, Halloween is a good time of year for us when it comes to opportunities and cool things to do. Because everyone wants to be scared.
That's right.
Spooky is cool.
Yes, for sure.
You know, though, and, you know, for us, it is like that, you know, pretty much every day of the year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very true. Very true.
So we're kind of kicking off the Spotlight Radio's 31 days of Halloween, which makes no sense because we're already 6 days into the month. But I'm looking
it's
forward
our first,
to
you know.
It is. We've had things
portion.
Going on.
I've had a lot going on.
And like I said, with the fact that we own it, we can kind of play on words
that.
Would be fine. Yeah.
Mhm. That's right. For sure.
You know, we like to hear people's stories and. Yeah, it's good. So I think with tonight's show, we have found that there is a general tie-in with magicians, illusionists, and what we do, because they present the unknown. And,
right.
You know, it's I can't tell you how many shows across the country we have been to, conventions where, you know, we've had a magician who has been on the bill with us, or, you know, I don't know, we've seen so many shows. It's, you know, it's definitely a tie-in that is, you know, very noticeable. And mm-hmm. I think tonight will be great to have, you know, Murray on, and I believe he's probably
he's here.
Ready. He's here. Yeah. So I've got an introduction. You know, our introductions are always really good. At least I think they are. You know, so I feel like when we have someone who's has like a Vegas show or is in the spotlight, just we have to amp up the introduction because they're used to like a really good introduction. And so
right.
it kind of puts me on the spot, you know, because you have to come mm-hmm. up with something better than, hey, we got Murray on today, you know, Murray, you know, it's got to hit hard. But
right. I'm waiting for the hitting hard, Rob.
I don't know if I have it. I don't know if we ever have it. But, you know, tonight we have celebrity magician, illusionist, and fellow
Hold on. Ready?
Medium. Oh, here we go. And fellow, this is the part that I wrote for you, which I am surprising you with. Fellow comedian and prankster, Murray Sawchuk.
Let's go ahead and bring him in.
I know you like that.
Hello.
Okay. How you guys doing?
We are
good,
here.
How
fantastic. How about you?
Oh, yeah.
I'm living the dream. You know, I'm sitting here on my patio, having a glass of wine in Vegas, and enjoying my evening. Very excited to talk to you guys.
Well, we're excited to have you on. And, you know, I know our introduction is so part of what your introductions usually are. But I didn't have the opportunity. I did not go over it with her ahead of time. And you probably didn't catch this, but I know she did. I added the word fellow into the fourth comedian and prankster. And we have a reoccurring thing over the past 7 years where she legitimately would tear down daily my dreams and ambitions of being funny and a comedian. She reminds me daily that I'm not funny. So that's why when I had the opportunity to throw that in there to start the show off, I was like, this is great.
But see, it's better than having 1,000 people on stage knowing that you're not funny. You know what I mean? That's a whole other reaction when you think you're funny and the audience does not think you're funny. So, you know, one person is not that bad, actually.
Rob, I'd love to see that happen to you.
I see. I think you would be. She would be the only one in the audience that would not have a good time. But that's my personal opinion. But hey, if you ever want to run something by somebody to see if it'll work or not, feel free to give her a call because she can destroy your dreams in a second.
Lovely. I will keep her phone number on speed dial.
Someone's got to do it. Someone's got to do it.
If you ever want to, hey,
keeps you humble.
Hey, you're not funny. She's the person.
Yep.
Exactly.
It's true.
Well, we thank you for joining us tonight on our
Spotlight
Radio in our 31 mm-hmm. days of Halloween specials. You know, it's a big time of year for us, and I think it probably normally would be a big time of year for you as well, but with everything going on right now, it's kind of chaotic and an interesting way to live and work right now.
Yeah, it is. It's ridiculous. You know, we never thought we'd see this time in our lives, I don't think. I don't think we ever thought about a time like this. Mm-hmm. It's almost, you know, like Twilight Zone, literally. You know what I mean? And it's, you know, but you know, I always tell people it's not what happens to you. It's how you react. That's the power you have. You know what I mean? That's the reality. You can act angry, sad, upset, depressed, or you can sit back and go, well, I got to put the boots on and tie them up tight and figure out how we're going to make this work until things get straightened out. You know, and I'm not a fan of the word the new normal because I'm not very good with the new normal. I'm okay with adjusting to change, you know, but the new normal, I'm like, you know, it's just one of those things where people never thought Vietnam would end and it ended, you know, too, you know, unfortunately a lot of lives got lost, but things happen, things change and we move on. But you know, the ones who are resilient survive, you know?
Right.
Well, and I think it's all about making adjustments. Even with what we do, you know, we essentially go into buildings to investigate, you know, claims of paranormal. And when people are hesitant of letting you into buildings, it's kind of a takes a bit of a hit, you know. So we you know, and I know with you and having people come to watch you perform is probably it's probably worse for you than it is for us. But I think it's all about making adjustments. And
that's
you know, I watched a lot of your videos on YouTube again today, and I've subscribed for years. And things that what I've done is we focus more on social media and some different platforms that we traditionally have not used, and we took time and put effort into that. You know, so it's all about, I think, making those adjustments.
Of course, and that's life, though. You know, unfortunately, we have a period of our lives where it's just rock and roll. It's phenomenal. And then we lose a family member or an animal or a loved one or whatever the case is, or lose a job or gain a job, gain an award, gain a degree. And our lives go through these. And that's really what life's about, you know, and never get too comfortable, you know. And that's like when you go into homes or churches or abandoned buildings, I think each one, like every audience that walks into my showroom, share and have another, you know, type of vibe to it. And each one you take as you see, you know, you don't judge it before you get there. You judge it when you're in it. And I think it's kind of the way life works. You kind of deal with what's at hand, you know?
Definitely. I think what we talked about in our opening too, is there's a general, just jumping right into it, a general tie-in between what we do and what you do. You know, we're presenting the unknown to people. And, you know, I don't know how you feel about, you know, the paranormal, but obviously I think you probably are at least cool with it because you decided to call in tonight. Now,
totally.
Do you have any, like, crazy paranormal experiences or anything that, you know, you want to talk about or share?
You know, I'm fascinated by paranormal. I'm fascinated by spirits, ghosts, the unknown, you know, and that, you know, for me, that's really what it is, the unknown, because I really don't know. You know what I mean? Like, I know for the over 30 years of me being in the business, I can create a lot of things that a lot of people will believe that would be true. You know what I mean? Whether it be spiritual or moving things, if they knew I wasn't a magician. You know what I mean? It's kind of like going to gamble at a casino and someone doesn't know that I've had a deck of cards in my hand for 40 years, right? Well, I can deal any hand you want. But the key is, once you know that person has that power, the gig's up, because now you look like a layman. But that's the idea for anything. And I think as a magician, if I were to walk into a crowd and do something, you were to say, hey, look, we're seeing these orbs, or we're seeing the shadows, or we're hearing these noises in a certain area, and they're real-time noises from spirits or ghosts or whatever you guys have read, I then can go to a different building, which isn't haunted, you know, or whatever, but we could mock it up as haunted, like we do at Halloween with these, you know, these scare rides and stuff like that. And I could almost recreate the same thing. And they're completely different. One is, you know, the afterlife and everything else. And the one is the present life, which I write and draw and create to kind of, you know, twin with what you guys see and hear and do, you know?
And I've always, you know, thought it would be interesting to see from someone at your skill level, which I've, you know, the highest skill level of what you do, if you could create the type of stuff that we can't wrap our head around. You know, when we get voices that interact with us over our devices or through just a typical, like a voice recorder, you know, that you can go and buy, you know, a lot of times we just get them on eBay, like a typical recorder. And then, you know, we can pick up voices that are intelligent, you know, communicating with us. And stuff like that, I just can't wrap my head around how we could be getting that and people cannot say, hey, there's something there. You know, we get those naysayers and the skeptics, which is fine to be skeptic, because I couldn't be any more skeptical than the next person.
Sure.
I try to be open-minded, and I am. To some extent, but there's also that bit of skepticism that keeps me going, I think. But, you know, there's some stuff that I don't even know how you could create, but I'm sure you could, you know, getting those, what we call EVP, those voices come through our recorders that are actually intelligently communicating with us.
Well, you know, I haven't studied enough of the paranormal. You know, I've studied, I got a lot of friends who are into it. I'm fascinated by it. You know, personally, what's interesting for me is, because I've been a magician since I was 7 years old, right? So in my head, I've always had an answer for a branch falling down, a shadow moving, a voice going into my TV or my stereo or my Alexa or whatever the case is. And I'm not saying I'm right. I've just had a conscience saying, well, this could have happened. So that's the way I chalk it up, because that's the way I think. Because since the age of 7, I've been learning how to look like I'm cutting someone in half and look like I'm vanishing or appearing a car or a train. You know what I mean? Because I'm one of the first people to ever say that I don't have that skill. Now, what's interesting is if I were to go to Africa and Kenya and certain areas where they do believe in voodoo and witchcraft and that, and I went over there, whether I told them or not that it was a trick, they would still believe that I had a power, because that's the way they were brought up since they were born. You know what I mean? They believe in all that. And they would think almost that I was lying, that I didn't have the power to dumb down my strength of having a power to do what I shared with them. Even if I told them how I did it, they'd be like, no, that's not the real way it happened. So it's very interesting how in certain parts of the world, there's stronger beliefs in certain aspects of spiritualism, magic, ghosts, and all that than there are in other places. You know, I find that very fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I think some of the oldest, when you look back at it, when you look at even Houdini, he was really involved in what we do, you know, with his,
yes.
You know, seances and trying to make, you know, this communication and stuff. So I think that even, you know, ties it in even more. And I think there's nothing that's more just grabs people and grabs people's attention than, you know, a seance or something that brings that kind of dark and spooky element into it. And when you tie that into it, I think it's just something that's really entertaining.
Well, I think it's fascinating. You know, a dear friend of mine in town in Vegas is Zach Bagan, which I'm sure you guys know. And, you know, he's got a great museum mm-hmm. down here. And we've talked many a times. And I've even approached him and I said, hey, I would love to go on one of your expositions, you know, where you're going to a home, a church, a building. And I'd love to spend the night over. Because me as a magician, my problem is I'm always been Switzerland, meaning I don't disbelieve in ghosts at all. I don't disbelieve in spirits or the paranormal. But I also don't believe in it either, because here's the way I feel. Because when I see things, I naturally blame them to a certain thing. Wind, AM, FM radio, the atmosphere, the universe, and other aspects that I don't even know. You know what I mean? Like they say we use 10% of our brain if we're lucky. Well, I'd love to know what the other 90% is doing. You know what I mean? Because I have not tapped into that. So I've always been Switzerland whenever I've gone into these things. You know what I mean? If somebody believes in ghosts wholeheartedly, I'm with them. I want to be on that ride, because I'm not going to ever judge them for that, because I've never experienced that. And if they have, then they have. You know what I mean? So I've always told, I share this with Zach, and I said, I would love to come on one day. We spent the night and the whole bit, because I would love to be in that position to experience it, enjoy it, or understand it, you know, and learn more of it, you know, because I do, you know, I'm the type of person that does not just believe it's just us here on Earth and it's just us walking around and that we're the only live life on this rock that we're floating around the universe. You know, I believe there's other stuff out there, because I just don't believe we're that smart to know that much, you know what I mean? So I'm fascinated about learning about all sorts of things. So I've always right. had an interest in it, and I've always been fascinated by it. So, and I've always wanted to experience that. I mean, the closest experience I've ever had is my father passed away 5 years ago at 83 of old age, great life, everything else. And I have a lot of stuff in my house from him, and I have an old clock, one of those ones you wind up and it ticks, you can hear it ticking. And every half an hour does a little chime, and every hour does a big chime. And so I put that away shortly after he passed away, just because I don't know if we were shooting something in the house or whatever the case was. And I put it, and I didn't think anything of this. I took the clock and I put it on top of my shelf in the closet, and I closed the door, and that was it. That's all I did. It was probably six, seven at night. I don't go to bed till midnight usually on most nights or one. And so I'm watching TV, doing my thing. I'm by myself in the house, me and my dog. And then I am in bed sleeping, and all of a sudden I hear the clock ticking. back and forth. And you can't miss those clocks. You know what I'm talking about? It's like a grand, like a grand clock, you know, but a baby grand clock, but it's a grandfather clock, but it's not. It's a smaller one. And it has a pendulum. And all of a sudden I heard the ticking. You've got to be kidding me. And this is literally the same day my dad passed, maybe a day later. And I was so excited. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. This is no freak. This is amazing. And I heard the noise. I didn't know where it was. I forgot I'd put the clock in the closet. So I opened the closet, and sure enough, the clock was ticking. And I was like, this is my story. This is it. I've got one. For the finally, after 40-odd years, I've got a story. And if anyone would talk to me, he'd be my dad, because he found that stuff fascinating. And so for 10 minutes, I just reveled in it. I thought it was the greatest thing. And I was like, this is wonderful. This is great. I got a story. I'm 110% believing. And that was it. And then, of course, my head's thinking, and I went, oh, that's it. Well, if anyone knows these clocks, whether you wind them up or not, if you even shake that clock a little bit, that pendulum starts, the perfect pendulum, like a metronome for music. And when I put it on top of my shelf in the cupboard, well, if you lift a clock vertical, the pendulum would swing all the way, you know, down, south, down, and then you put the clock up, and then it would level itself. Well, because I just put it up there, not thinking, closed the closet, and walked out. I hadn't been back in my bedroom for 4 or 5 hours. It had been going back and forth. I didn't know that. So when I went to bed, I'm lying there, no sound in the house, just my dog sleeping. Now I hear the ticking. I go, that's unbelievable. Well, if I did not take the clock and turn it completely 9 degrees and put it on my shelf, and it was still in the living room where it sat for like 6 months before that, and it started, that would have blown me away. But because I'd shifted it 90 degrees sideways and put it back up there, as a magician, and the way I think, that's how it got moving. So it wasn't my dad.
Right.
You know what I mean? But now, to most people, would be like, oh, my God, they wouldn't. But for me, I'm analytical, so I look at everything. And I go, well, and people are still like, yeah, but it still could be your dad. I'm like, yes, it could be, 100%. But for me, as a magician, I don't believe in that, because if you could take the clock now, and if you just tilt it a little bit, it'll go off for about 45 minutes, just back and forth, because that's what it does.
Right.
So that's how I find things a lot. Now, to somebody else, though, that story would be 100% true, and it would live on for the next 50 years as that's the story. There wouldn't be the ending part, just because if you know how a clock like that works, that's the way it works, you know. But and it wouldn't tick forever, you know, because you got to wind them up a little bit, but that pendulum will go for a while. So anyways, that was one of my closest stories. So for 10 minutes, I felt like, I think the people who are on the other side see and believe and everything. And my girlfriend, she sees things, hears things all the time, you know, and she sees these things. And I don't ever say she doesn't, because I'm not smart enough to say she does or doesn't. You know what I mean? I don't see it, you know. The only thing she brought up a few days ago is, it was in our house. We were sitting around, and I forgot the closet door was open or something like that. I gotta bring it up to her again though. But we just got engaged about 3 or 4 days ago. My fiance and I.
Oh, congratulations!
Congratulations!
Thanks. Yeah. I've been together for 3 years now, so I figure it's about time. And she's amazing. So a lot of things in my house are my dad's made, done stuff like that. And I collect a lot of stuff from Jerry Lewis, Phyllis Diller, and most people are dead. So people are like, wow, you must have a lot of spirits. And you're like, yeah, maybe I do, you know. And she's like, I've seen your dad twice. Oh, this was up in Mount Charleston here in Vegas in a cabin. We had one of the closets open. She says, I've seen your dad 3 or 4 times here. And I said, that's amazing. I said, that's awesome. I said, I haven't, but I love the fact that he's around, you know. And then she said one thing that threw me off completely. And I still haven't figured it out yet, and I don't have an answer for her. And I don't think she'd know this. So I believe she does know more than I know. But she was like, your dad, did he like cinnamon a lot? I said, yeah. He put cinnamon on his toast with butter. He put cinnamon in his tea. Okay, he loves cinnamon. But that's something you would never really know. You wouldn't know by finding it online. You wouldn't know. She never met my dad, you know. And I said, yeah. I said, he does like cinnamon. I said, and we weren't doing it. We were just drinking wine. He had 2 glasses of wine. So I wasn't drunk. I wasn't smoking anything, you know. And I said, and I said, what do you mean? He said, well, I've seen him 2 or 3 times. He was standing there clapping his hands. And all he kept saying was cinnamon, cinnamon. And I said, really? He said, yeah. And there's no way she would have ever, like, that makes, like, he loved cinnamon. And so I have no explanation for that. And I don't think she has any way of finding that out. I never told her, you know? So yeah, those things are fascinating. I find it amazing. I wish I experienced that. You know what I mean? Except she did. And that's great, because I think she's more in touch with herself and the paranormal, and she probably sees deeper into life than I do, you know? So.
Right.
Well, yeah. I have a magnitude of responses for that. So basically, the way I would look at it with the clock, we'll start with the clock.
Sure.
Do you still have that clock? You have it available?
Oh, yeah, it's sitting on my table on the other side of the window right now, yeah.
Is it work? Do you have it wound and stuff, or is it just
No, it's just sitting there. It's not wound. Because every hour goes off, and, you know, when you're sleeping at 2 in the morning, it's kind of annoying. It's actually really pretty, but, if you're not used to pain in the ass, yeah.
Those are the worst. Yeah, in my day job, I sell residential real estate, and people also know I do the paranormal stuff. So, like, anytime anyone has something old or creepy, they're like, do you want this? And you know how many times, like, people are like, hey, do you want this grandfather clock? And I'm thinking, oh, my God, that would be the worst thing, because I have a hard enough time sleeping as it is, let alone. I probably take at least 10 of those a year, and I'm like, no, I don't want those. But
you get used to it after a while. I'll say that, but yeah.
That's right. Well, it becomes soothing. It's like water or rain or something like that, or wind.
Right.
But it's definitely an adapted noise, you know, or comfort noise.
Right.
Well, what I would do, and if, you know, this would be my opinion, what I would jump to do is I would just talk to your dad, say, hey, you know, I had this experience. I just talked about it, you know, with these people. And why don't you make that go off? And just say that and see if you can get it, you know, because then at that point you have not moved it. And if it goes and it does it in the next day or two, you know, that would be something
away.
That you could be, that would be phenomenal. And then we could have you back
right.
and you tell us the story.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's, no, I'd be thrilled with that. And I wouldn't have an answer for it either, you know, so I wouldn't have a magical answer, you know.
Yeah.
So.
And that's
yeah,
the way,
I'll do
you know, we kind of function with that. It's like there's people out there and you know, and for what it's worth, I mean, for each person, they kind of have their own way they function, and whatever they mm-hmm. pull out of it is good for them, you know. But for us, that's how we would do. We're like, all right, well, let's test it again. Let's test it again. Let's do this again. We just don't look at, you know, a knock or a sound and be like, oh my God, it's paranormal. Let's put it on YouTube.
It's a ghost.
You know, it's kind of,
right.
Yeah, it's a ghost. You know, we kind of, and I understand until you have that first experience, you know, and we, mm-hmm. so, you know, we talk to thousands of people yearly, and there's always, no matter where we go, there's always those people who are like, hey, what you do is, you know, horse shit. You know, we don't buy it. You know, it's, we're skeptical,
yeah.
you know, and until they have it, there's no way you can change their mind. You know,
yeah,
and we, Nikki works at a haunted location, a bed and breakfast. We've present her, the general manager is very skeptical. We've presented some evidence that I can't wrap my head around. It's some of the better
yeah.
evidence. And he's like, yeah, I don't know. You know, so, but until he has his own paranormal experience, you just,
that's right.
you can't. You can't
100%
yeah.
true.
You can't make
yeah.
some. You can't make somebody believe. You know,
of
and
course,
then,
right.
of course, that's understandable.
And
or somebody who doesn't
like
want
cult.
To try or shut up.
Right.
Yeah.
We don't force anyone to believe. You know, hey, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, if it happens to you
well,
one day, you're going to come
thing,
to me and go, hey,
yeah.
it happened.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah,
yeah.
Of course. Of course.
Mm-hmm.
No, I find it. I'm fascinated by it. I'm always fascinated by it. I did a movie called Zombie Strippers with Robert Englund and Jenna Jameson years ago. I just did a bit part in it, and we did it at the Loma Linda Hospital or the Santa Fe Hospital in it's like Downey, California, or that Indio, California, and that. And it was the hospital they shot the first pilot for ER, the TV show ER, which was like 100 years ago. But it was a really cool hospital, and it was shut down. And I found it fascinating, you know, because it's shut down. It's eerie to begin with, you know, and we're shooting this movie in there. And of course me, anything like that, I just can't sit still. I got to walk around and find the boiler room. And all, cause I grew up on watching, you know, Nightmare on Elm Street and, you know, all these other things. And I was always fascinated by that. So, and I'm not really scared of anything. You know, I want to be scared or I would love to run into, you know, something interesting, you know, I'm all about that. And so I'd walk around between takes and they had all these rooms literally still with the file folders of all the old patients, they used to be there with their files. I couldn't believe they could just leave them there like that.
I know, it's crazy,
I went down
right?
the boiler room. It was amazing. I loved it. I'm sure someone like yourselves would see and hear many things. For me, I saw nothing except just shadows that scared the hell out of me. That was just a shadow, like a lampshade or something. But because I've watched all those horror movies growing up, you know. But I like that. I find it fascinating, and I'm intrigued by it. I'm not really scared by it. I'm more intrigued, you know. So
right.
anyways, that's, you know, and I'm sure if you guys walked around there, you'd find all sorts of things. I think it's already been claimed one of the most haunted places in the U.S. or something like that.
Yeah, I don't think they're still doing stuff there now. I know we've done some live streams there like years and years ago, but not saying over the past like 10 years, but it's, you know, and you talked about like the AM FM radios and stuff, and we use what's usually called a ghost box, which are essentially jammed AM FM radios, and they use them on the shows. You know, they use them on Ghost Adventures, they use them on all the TV shows. But I think it's also the fact of what you believe in, how you use that tool. You know, when we use it, we call it response, or I at least call it responsible ghost boxing, which because it's a ghost box, and you can't let the box lead you. You know, we ask it a question. If it answers our question, which we find something that is an intelligent response, then we try to communicate. But you know, there's also people that go out there and say, "Hey, what's your name?" And it'll say "hot dog," and they're like, "Oh my God, this ghost is hungry." You know, and then they kind of
That's great.
You know, and it's clearly AM or FM radio that's coming through. You know, then you get kind of where it becomes corny. And that was my initial mindset when it came to, you know, using that device. But when I took the time to try to, you know, really hone in on the questions and hone in on the responses, then I believe it's a valuable tool. And there are times that I even being skeptical, we've gotten things that I can't explain, like my full first and last name, when I did not present my full first and last name to anything in the room. Just walking in,
okay.
Hey, do you know my name? And my last name is not easy to pronounce, and it was pronounced correctly. And I do not believe my first and last name would be on AM radio in Uniontown, Pennsylvania. So I was able to rule that out. You know,
sure, you have a good
have
argument, of course.
Yeah, we have a pretty good clip that the timing is to the point, it's a fraction of a second that this could actually happen, but I had asked the question, do you know who the president is? And the answer came through immediately as Trump. But because that's a very common word that would come through AM radio, then you have to factor that in. Even though the timing was impeccable, you know, there's still something. But when it comes to, you know, my full first and last name, there's no way. So, you know, it's a very interesting, you know, thing. And if, you know, if they don't take you out or let you come with them, we want you to come with us. And we want it, you know, whenever we travel all over. So the invitation is there. Whenever we're around, if we're ever in matching cities or out by you, you're more than welcome to join us.
I would love that. I'm always up for that. You know, I find it fascinating, and I'm not one out to debunk it. It's just the way my mind thinks, and it's not in a in a negative way. It's just
that's a healthy mindset. That's healthy.
Yeah, we like that.
Better. No, because if you see something, I go great. Tell me all about it. I want to hear what you're seeing. You know, I would never be to judge you saying you're not seeing it, because if you're seeing it, well, it's your eyeballs. I'm not in your mind and your brain. You know, and I can't argue with that. You know, so I find that stuff really fascinating.
Well, and I think the other thing is we should probably talk to your fiance, because it seems like she has some good skills there. If she can come up with that cinnamon story, I think that's a good story.
Oh, yeah. It's wonderful. Isn't that great, though? Like, I was so excited to hear that. It was actually very warm and heartfelt, because, you know, if you look online nowadays, and because of my career and kind of what I've done, there's stuff with my parents and her, and you can kind of find stuff out pretty quickly these days. That's another problem that makes things not as amazing sometimes. People, you know, who read minds or paranormal or, you know, insight to someone that you may have never met, you know. But with that, as far as I know, unless my mother must have told her, which I don't think she did, because it's just not something you would, nothing you tell somebody. When she said that, it was shocking. Like, I was really surprised. And I haven't been shocked a lot in my lifetime, because I know people that read tarot cards and people do certain things, and I hear a lot of people how they talk to a person. Like, I can make you pick a card that I want you to pick, like, and I'll ask you, do you want this card? And I'll And I will make sure you say yes that you want it, because it's just the way I present it, you know. And it's just mm-hmm. It's just a way, you know, when you've been doing something for a long time, it's almost like psychology. It has nothing to do with me knowing the person or paranormal. It's about me, how my inflection is in my voice and how eager mm-hmm. and non-eager I am for something to happen, which is a human interaction. You know, it's like you stick out your hand, natural reaction, stick out somebody's hand, shake their hand. Maybe not the last 5 months, but before this,
right.
That's what we did. So we have certain mm-hmm. attributes as humans that we just do, we react and assume to. And as a magician, we use a lot of those in regards to making a trick happen or a prediction or something like that, because we are built on humans assume many things. So therefore, as a magician, we go with that, you know, and it helps us out greatly looking more magic, you know, when we don't really have the power. It's just more the skill set, you know.
Right.
You know, what I would initially think, just based on the story, my first thought was, you know, because of your line of work and because of everything you just explained, if your dad is trying to reach out to you, he might know that you're going to automatically debunk anything. So he, you know, it's something that we know and we hear all the time, that he'll bypass you and go to somebody mm-hmm. who is a believer to give you that message. So that would be my first impression of that, would be you were probably intentionally bypassed because of what
yeah.
right,
you
to
just
go
said.
To someone who was more open or receptive to the message, right?
Oh, I believe that. Sure, mm-hmm. that makes sense to me. You know, 100%. Mm-hmm. But Danny's always had this, my girlfriend, Danny, she's always had that ability, and she really got into it, and then she backed off a lot from it because it was almost affecting her life and her, you know, and her friends and her world, because she saw more than she wanted to see. And so she kind of shut it off because she didn't want to go that route completely with everything, because she wanted, you know, disrupted sleep and life and everything else. Mm-hmm. And so, but she said she's seen my dad in my house lots and around. I haven't seen him once, but he is here because I've got a lot of his stuff here, and he's a great father, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
And I think it's wonderful. She's like, oh, I saw him walk past the shed, and I saw him walk past the grass. Like, you know what? I love that. That's a great thing. I have no problem with that. You know what I mean? I wish you could see him, but I'm glad she could see him, because I had him for most of my life, and she never got to meet him. So I'm all receptive to that. I think it's wonderful. You know, and I don't debunk it because I can't. I want it to be real. I think that's a cool story. I think it's wonderful. You know what I mean? So, and I hope it is true. You know.
Definitely.
Well, you know what's interesting is you had mentioned, you know, your family, and I know you had made that train disappear, and I remember when you talked about your family. One place interesting. I live in Cleveland, Ohio, and we actually have one of the big train museums, and it's supposedly haunted.
Oh,
and
interesting.
We were lining up for possible investigation here before COVID. I need to contact them again because they have some very historic. You know, they have like the train car that Lincoln rode in when he was campaigning. You know, it's not just like, you know, the train, they're very historic. And, you know, I know they were either planning to, or they ended up shooting television shows, you know, the reality TV shows here because of it. It's like a new thing that they decided that they're, for whatever reason, you know, sometimes those museums are owned by someone who just doesn't believe in a paranormal and you can't get in. And then all of a sudden someone else comes in on the board and now you can go. But that is something that, you know, that would be pretty interesting. It might be interesting for you is to investigate, you know, the largest museum of, you know, the trains and their actual train cars. And, you know, that, with that tie-in there, that might be kind of cool.
100%. Yeah. Yeah, my whole family's on the railway, you know, and except for me, you know, as you know, looking at my stuff. And that's the reason I did the train, you know, when my dad was alive, of course, and he saw all that, you know. But yeah, trains have a long history, you know. Good, bad, and indifferent, you know, from, you know, trains going through the Rocky Mountains to avalanches to losing a lot of members who worked for the railway to, you know, to all that stuff, you know what I mean? So to Lincoln, who, you know, freed the slave and built the railway too, you know.
Well, and we've investigated, you know, numerous locations that have been the sites of horrific accidents on trains, you know, so
mm-hmm. yeah,
It's something that is very alluring to people, even in our industry of, you know, the train accidents, which, you know, some of the things like that were kind of, I take with a grain of salt, not always, and so super pumped up to go and, you know, investigate, but, you know, it's very interesting.
Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. Of course. Yeah. And I can imagine, what is one of the most interesting things I know you're interviewing me, but I just wanted to ask a question. But that you guys have encountered, you know, that you shocked yourselves, or that you weren't expecting something that kind of happened nonchalant more so than planned.
You go first, Ryan.
I guess if you're thinking personal, or if you're thinking, you know, when we're out doing our thing, we had a very similar story when it came to, you know, a loved one. Nicole lost her grandmother, and I didn't know this. And this is, you know, this is just kind of a bizarre story. And it ties in. It's kind of like it's like the version of your clock story here, or the cinnamon story.
Right.
I was doing my annual cleaning of my closet and pulling out all my shoes and, you know, going through everything. And the most bizarre thing that happened is that in every one of my set of shoes, like for like maybe, I think it was like 6 or 7 straight pairs, there was either one nickel or multiple nickels in my shoes. First of all, I don't keep loose change in my closet. I mean, if I did, maybe something fell, but I had all these nickels in all my shoes.
You don't store them in your shoes?
Bizarre. No, not to
mention. Just checking.
And it turns out that Nicole's grandmother had told, they had a pact with her mom that if she could communicate in the afterlife, she would leave nickels. And she had recently just passed away, and I had found all these nickels in my closet in the shoes. And that's where we heard that, you know, it was to where, you know, Nicole wasn't ready for the message. She couldn't receive it at the time. So, you know, I talked to her 9 times a day, 10 times a day, and whatever, you know, so the next person in line that would probably get it would be myself. And I can't explain where the nickels came from.
Yeah.
So that was just kind of like a more personal story. That wasn't like, you know,
that's phenomenal. I love it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's something that I can't explain. Now, keeping in line with things I can't explain, I actually have witnessed, and we have it somewhat on video, but not really, Nicole becoming a whole different person.
Sounds horrible. Sounds horrible
when
you do that.
I was going to say you were possessed, but I mean, that's like the Hollywood version of the word of what actually happened. But if close as seeing someone get possessed, you know, I've never seen anything like it in my entire life.
Really?
So we were at a location here in Cleveland called the House of Wills. And it was a very to-do funeral home in downtown Cleveland. It was the first opera house built by the Hungarians in the late 1800s, I believe, and then it was purchased in, I think, the 1940s by the Wills family, and it was named the House of Wills, a funeral home. So, and it just has a really amazing story, and
beautiful.
You know, we wanted to investigate, yeah, because it has the architecture, just amazing. So her first trip to Cleveland, we go and investigate the House of Wills, and we're setting up. They have what was called, it's called the Cloud Room, which was the speakeasy that turned into where they had the caskets when the Wills family took over. So we're filming for a documentary down there, and now Nicole traditionally she'll wander off in the dark, and it's not a thing for her not to, you know, stay and, you know, do a thing. She'll just wander off. That's like her thing. And you know when you're standing
next to
somebody, you know when you're standing next to somebody, you can feel their presence.
Sure.
So we're standing next to each other and doing a ghost box session, and then, you know, she wasn't there, so I was like, all right, whatever, I'm just going to continue doing it. And then another like 30 seconds go by, and I look down, and she's actually tying her shoe. And that's at least what I had thought. And it turns out, you know, she wears boots, and her boots don't have laces. So I should have known that, but I had no clue. You know, I'm not up on her fashion. So,
your fashion.
You know, I guess I should, but I didn't. I mean, like another minute went by, and she's still down there and looks like she's tying her shoes. And I'm like, you know, this is a little bizarre. So I put my arm around her and kind of like pick her up a little bit. And I notice like her facial features are like kind of gone, and she's like all like spaced out. And She didn't know what I was saying. She couldn't communicate. It was just like she was gone. Someone else was there. It was just bizarre.
Wow.
And I just kind of took it with a grain of salt. I was like, all right, whatever. Let's get you out of here. Maybe you just, you know, there's something that we just need to get you up and out because it's kind of in a basement area. And so I go to tell her, help her walk, and she couldn't walk. She's like walking on her ankles. I've never seen anything like that either. So I'm carrying.
Yeah, you did in a music video.
Yeah, there was a music video, and I saw it. And I was like, this is what you were doing.
The Billie Eilish video. Billie Eilish.
Yeah, that was it. And she's walking, like, where she's, like, walking on her ankles. It was just bizarre. So I pick her up, and I'm carrying her like you would carry a baby in one arm. And I have a device or something in the other. And, we got to go up steps. So we go up from the basement to the main floor. And as we reach the main floor, she starts jerking backwards. You know, like when a kid would, if you're holding a child, they kind of jerk out of your arms. She's doing that. And she's pointing down the hall. She's like, I need to go to my offices. I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? We've never been here. I don't know what's down there. What do you mean your offices? And she's saying, I need to go to my offices. I'm like, all right, let's get you outside. So to make a long story short, and make this even worse, is we have to go up a whole other set of stairs to go to where we can go outside, because it's in a little bit of it's in an awful area, I'll be honest with you. You don't still go outside. You go out to like where the carport is, where they would have the bodies come through. They have like an AstroTurf top, and it's all fenced in, and that's where you would go. So I had to get her out there. And as I was getting out there, it kind of overlooks part of the city. And she was explaining to me how the city has been on a decline over the years, and how, you know, it's just not how it used to be, and all these crazy things. And I look at her, I'm like, who are you? And, you know, she just like snickered. And it's funny because she swears a ton. She's really, you know, she's been refined on tonight's show.
I make sailors blush.
Yeah, and she has a bit of a, even though she denies it, if you talk to her, a southern accent, and she talks very fast. And this was, and her whole speech was off. It was like slow, saying words that she would never say. It was just the most
not cussing
interesting. Not cussing, that was a big one. And then, you know, giving statistics and stuff about the city of Cleveland and how things have changed over the years when she is not from Cleveland. It was just a very bizarre 20-minute ordeal. And then for the following like month or so, every time I would call her, I'd ask to talk to Mr. Wills instead of her.
Mm-hmm.
She would get mad after a while. But, hey, is Mr. Wills here or there? And I think for personal experiences and something that like we don't have documented, that's probably one of the more bizarre things, because as you're going through it, you just kind of like,
well, we have some of it documented.
Happening?
I was able to watch the video.
Yeah,
that's the only reason I know, but
yeah.
I don't remember
it.
It's
a minor amount.
That's phenomenal. That's amazing. I love hearing that, because it's, you know each other, so you know each other should respond and react. And when you don't, you know that it's not normal, you know?
So she doesn't traditionally walk her ankles, you know. She doesn't.
Yeah.
Try not to.
She did not
I know
have
how to
any
tie
kind
shoes.
Of office.
She nice.
Has no office
Perfect.
At the House of Wills. I'm pretty sure she never had an office at the old funeral home, unless she's lying.
Yeah, right.
She's actually from, you know. So
I wish.
Yeah, when it comes to it's just like normal, like when we're out and about doing our investigating stuff, we've had so many things that I would take as intelligent responses to our questioning on either our voice recorder or through like a ghost box, that I can't tell you why or how those answers came through.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. That makes sense, you know. I do find that interesting, you know, I think my problem, though, sometimes is that I watch these shows on TV, all these ghost shows, and I see magicians on TV cut, edit, do a lot of crap that I don't believe
right.
in, and I know they're hiding stuff. Because, you know, a lot of magicians want to save money on the budget or whatever the hell it is, and there's big, big name magicians that are doing it. And they have the money to not do it. And so when I see a lot of these paranormal shows, I see a lot of people going, and that's all I hear for the whole half an hour in dark green light, some dust in the air, and it's, John, did you hear that? Oh, God. And it's all this, and it's the hype, and it's the double cut edits, it's the blurry screen, it's all the loud sound effects, it's all the stuff we'd have in a fright ride if we were to go in the Haunted Mansion at Disneyland and all this other stuff. I'm not saying it's wrong. I would do the same damn thing if I produced a TV show with the paranormal. I mean, you know, I do stuff like that when I do magic. You know, I make sure more laughing. I make the applause more applauding. You know, all the stuff we had in when we do TV and we have that luxury, you know. I'm not saying it's all real and all fake, but all I'm saying is, you know, because I have a buddy of mine who believes in it wholeheartedly, 110%. And that's great. And I said, well, tell me when they really, really see something that we can see as laymen that aren't in that world and that aren't, don't have that sixth sense or whatever you two have, you know, that I can really wrap my head around. Because right now, all I'm going on is hype, which P.T. Barnum did all his life, and he sold millions of tickets because he was the greatest showman in the world, you know, as he said, the greatest show on earth. And Houdini, he was the greatest escape artist. Why? And Michael Jackson is the greatest pop star in the world because they're the ones that said it. And they're very good because they could deliver, and they did deliver, you know. So when I watch a lot of these shows on TV, I do sit back and see a lot of that, a lot of dark lights, a lot of editing, and we really saw the raw footage. It really wouldn't, in my opinion, because I've, you know, not seen the raw footage, so I'm speaking, you know, not as a professional, but we can do jump cuts and we can do edits where we repeat it over and over and over so it sounds good. But I know when it was happening we didn't see that, you know what I mean, when we were actually in the home. So that throws me off a lot too, because I know with a lot of these ghost shows they use a lot of that to facilitate more fear, like every horror movie does, or Nightmare on Elm Street, or Friday the 13th, or Jason, and all these other things. And I love it. I love that stuff. And Saw, which is one of my favorite shows, Saw. But when I see the paranormal shows, I wish they wouldn't do some of the effects like I wish magicians wouldn't do on magic specials. When I go, oh, why did you push into the crowd? Or why did you cut to an audience shot, then cut back to you? Well, as soon as you cut from a trick on stage to an audience shot of them laughing or going, wow, and cut back to that damn stage, you've done something that you couldn't do live. And so when I see quick edits like that, or all sorts of things, that's, so I'm not saying, I'm saying it in my business as well. You know what I mean? I'm critiquing both worlds, you know, that's where I start going, well, if it's so real and so amazing, just let it ride. You know, I know that's not TV. It's not produced that way. We don't want to watch that. It's boring, you know? So I understand that as well, but that's kind of also my, you know, when I get on my little squawk box and I start talking about life and how things I would like to see, don't use that stuff and let me really see it from my own eyes. You know what I mean? That's just, you know.
I agree.
Well, I actually,
no, I agree wholeheartedly.
I think you might like to see our production we're currently working on, because that's how we function with our new production. And it basically, if we don't hear it and hear it 100% the same, you know, but we don't put it out there, and anything that we put out there happens that, you know, it's nothing edited, and you know, we spend a lot of time. You know, we hear there's some shows that go out there, and I'm not going to name names or whatever, but they might do 5 or 8 hours to investigate a location when we go 3 or 4 days, and we spend probably, and then the thing that we're sticklers about is in some of the production companies that we teamed up with and have talked to, and, you know, the television networks, they couldn't believe the fact that we actually reviewed all of our own evidence, because we don't want to put out something that is either one.
I won't put out something I don't believe. Like it has to be 100% genuine.
We use it, what we call, and Nikki coined the phrase, instant gratification devices that are obviously going to keep the viewers watching, you know, but there are like we use the ghost box, which produces sound. So what we're hearing, they're hearing. And as much as some of the shows, when they do a traditional EVP, which is they get on a voice recorder and then they play it back to you, you have no idea what really was captured on that voice recorder.
Right, without the words coming up on the screen. That's why it takes three times. Because they play a few roles.
Yeah, it bothers me.
You're going to hear what they want you to hear because the words are on the screen. And then suddenly, that once the words are on the screen, the second time they play it, the third time, and you're like, I totally hear that.
Yes.
It's a psychological play, right?
Mm-hmm. Correct. And I don't blame the TV show. And look, when I'm not in the house with you or the warehouse or the factory or the morgue or whatever you're investigating, and I'm sitting at home, you know, TVs, it's a flat screen. Nothing is more unexciting than a flat screen. You know, you go to watch an Aerosmith concert, nothing beats being in the front row versus watching TV. It's not the same show. So I also produce TV shows as well. And so I respect that. So I'm not going to say you shouldn't do that, or I would never do that in my own show if I did it. But, and you got to create that sense of concern and worry or excitement or whatever. So I understand that, but I see a lot of that with, you know, with the shows. And I'm like, and all these four grown men in their 40s going, ooh, ah. And I'm like, we had the Temptations already. We don't need that anymore. I laugh a little bit at it just because I'm not saying it's not real and not there, but I'm coming from a magic point of view where I do fool people for a living and I don't have a power, you know, and I never claim to have a power, especially if you've ever seen the way I look with the messy hair and I look like a Q-tip. I don't think I would sell that very well, but I can say that, you know what I mean? So that's my only argument, you know what I mean? So.
Well, we could not avoid putting the words on the screen because that's just like industry standard. And there's some things that are industry standard. And it makes sense, you know. But when it comes to the one thing that we really did not do is we didn't use the voice recorders because I believe whenever I'm watching the shows and I see someone crack out their voice recorder and then you hear, while we had our voice recorder and this is what we had on our voice recorder, you couldn't hear it in real time, but this we swear this is what it said. You know, to me, that's where you get to the level of possibly a corny and where you get to people who are not going to believe because you're playing something on a recorder that who knows when it was actually put on that recorder or if it actually was even from that recorder. You know, that's like me that's saying, hey, look, I've got this piece of paper. And then later on, I looked at the paper and it said, I need help, you know, which no one would know. But when we're using the instant gratification devices, we hear it, you hear it, you know, that's how we present it. And it's turning out to be fantastic.
Yes, for sure.
At least that's our approach.
Yeah.
Of course. No.
Yeah.
And like you said, everyone has their own thing. And that's whatever works for you and being true to your art form or your spirituality or what you believe in or what you're selling or not selling or sharing, you know, so.
Right. Exactly.
And I think it's all about the approach. Like when we do our stuff, the way we're interviewing you right now is the way that we talk to the spirits. We do not interrogate. We find that, you know, having like an open conversation, we get probably some of the best evidence when we're not even trying to get evidence. You know, they're more like, hey, look, we got our friends over today and, or, hey, look at me. You guys are ignoring me is what they're saying. And we find that it's our approach and it's the way we like to communicate.
Yeah. It works for you, for sure.
Yeah.
No, definitely understandable.
Definitely.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I know we've kept you a little bit longer than, you know, we mentioned, but we wanted to thank you. And then obviously I know you have a lot of stuff coming up. You want any plugs you want to give out to people who are listening? Or,
well, I'm doing all sorts of things. Obviously, the live entertainment slowed down a little bit, but we're doing a live show October 18th, a Zoom type live show. If people can go on my Facebook or my page and get tickets for that on October the 18th. And then there's always my YouTube channel, which we're always uploading videos every week under YouTube Magic Murray. And then of course my show, we're hoping to open up in the middle of November. So about a month away, as Vegas is opening up back at the Tropicana. And then hopefully with the other show I'm in, which is a show called Fantasy at the Luxor, which is a female review show. I do a comedy guest spot in there. So we're really hoping for November, you know, with social distancing and all these guidelines we have to follow. So we're trucking along, you know, and we're also working on a bunch of other TV shows. And, of course, I'm on Master of Illusion on CW on Fridays. So that's the stuff that I got going on. So I've been keeping myself somewhat busy.
Awesome.
No, definitely. I can't imagine how busy you are. But one thing I have to ask is, when I was watching some of the YouTube stuff, when you're walking just down the street, it wasn't just pre-COVID and stuff. Like, if I saw you in the street, I would automatically think there'd be a camera somewhere. Like, there's something. You're gonna,
well, people who know who I am now, they go, wait a minute.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
or if you come to my house, we have security cameras everywhere, you know, around the whole perimeter. And you're like, are we really going to be part of your video? I said, no, that's for security. I said, we're not using that place for anything. But, unless you rob something, unless you rob me. But
My first thought, if I saw you in the streets, I'd be like, something's going down. There's cameras.
Yeah, well, a lot of people are like that nowadays. Because I've had that jail for 5 years now. And it's almost like that guy. Do you remember that guy on the show? It was Chris. His name was Chris. He was on a show called To Catch a Predator on like HLN or CNN, and one of those. Chris,
I know anyone
who's listening right now knows the last name right now, but I cannot think of it right now. Chris something or other.
Is it Hansen?
I'll think of it as soon as I hang up.
Yeah, Chris Hansen.
That's it. Chris Hansen. Thank you.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. I said to my friends when I watched it years ago, like 5, 10, 15 years ago, I said, man, can you imagine him walk into a room at a party? And I must be every room he walks into, he'll go, holy shit, what did I do? What did I just do? And, you know, because he's, you know, that's his gig on the show, you know. And I just thought it must be really funny to have him in that position. And then what happened years later, I think he got busted for cheating on his wife. So I'm thinking, well, there you go. There's karma. But I just found that interesting of just somebody who walks in a room like that and you go, oh, my God, what did I do? You know, so.
Right, exactly.
So there you go.
You
well, what's
see,
about to happen?
A bunch of like creepy middle-aged men run for the doors. Like,
exactly. Yeah, with their you know pack of soda, condom, and like a cupcake in a bag. You know, like, why do
right,
you have that?
Right. Exactly. Like, they're running and the teddy bear. They're like, oh no, I gotta
exactly.
go.
Exactly. I was trying to help her out. I was trying to ease her into her adulthood. Okay, all right then. And what do you do? I'm a pastor
right.
and I teach kindergarten. Oh yes, you do. And
of course
and the ratings go sky high.
Exactly.
Exactly. So, but thank you for having me on the show, you guys.
Hopefully
it didn't take too much of your time up in that. But thanks for asking me, and it was always a pleasure chatting with you guys.
No, we will.
Awesome.
Hopefully, we'll talk to you soon. The invitation stands.
Let us know about
to,
that clock.
Come out, and we want to hear about the clock. So there's some homework.
I will.
Here. And we want to talk to your fiance as well. So. You know, maybe
for
we'll,
sure. No, she's a showgirl in Vegas. She's the host of Crazy Girls, you know, here in Las Vegas. She also was one of the original showgirls, not the original, but from the cast of Jubilee, which is the last Vegas showgirl show in Vegas that closed back. I think it was 2015 or 16. And so she's in entertainment as well. So if you ever want to have her on the show or something, she'd be a lot more enlightened than I am in regards to your world and probably vibe with you guys and understand them much more than I do, you know, but if you want that,
unless,
we'll set that
unless
up for
that
you.
Clock goes off tonight, then you'll have a story.
Exactly. And I'll be like, son of a gun, I got to call these people. So.
Exactly. Sounds good.
All right. Sounds good. Well, we appreciate you your time tonight, and we will talk to you soon.
Mm-hmm.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me on. Anytime you're in Vegas, we got shows running, you're always a guest of my show. So thanks for taking the time,
awesome.
Guys. Thanks for talking to me.
Awesome.
All right. Have a good
night. All right.
Thank
you. You too.
All right.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
I don't know where we're going, but there you go.
Yeah.
I think that was a really good show, and I think it all had to do with my opening fellow comedian and prankster opening.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It really set the tone for a really good show.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Keep telling yourself that, Ron.
Oh, I will tell myself that until you tell me in about 10 minutes off air that, hey, you're not funny. And then
your dreams will be crashed and you'll cry a little. Mm-hmm.
Again tonight. Maybe it's like a Tuesday
yep.
night or early Wednesday morning.
It's a ritual.
Mm-hmm.
Well, some things have to remain consistent. So don't cry now. Cry off air.
I'm already starting.
I can tell. Don't cry now.
No,
cry
right,
off
well,
air. Save your man.
Thank my manhood is always good.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know what that means, but that's what I said. But anyway, we appreciate everyone joining us tonight, and our guest was awesome, Murray Sawchuk, and he gave all his plugs. And look for mm-hmm. more show announcements from us coming. And we have, actually this Sunday, we have Medium George Anderson, and he will be on a special night And I'm looking forward to that as well.
Me too. Me too. I can't wait.
So I guess we're going to see everybody on Sunday.
Yep. See you Sunday, everybody. Have a great night.
Good night.
Bye-bye.